It's good to see some of you here. While all the Cape Townians like try to get out of Cape Town, it's great to see some people from Sierras and some people from all over the show. You're looking good tonight, looking fresh. Hopefully the sun didn't get to you like it got to me a little bit today. But just turn to somebody next to you and say, you are looking so fresh. I cannot believe it. I have not seen somebody with such an amazing smile on his face or his face tonight. I'm just saying that so that I can open up my computer and start to see where we are right now. But I actually mean it. You have to mean it. Okay, don't be a hypocrite in church. Just mean it. If the person's teeth doesn't look that nice, just say something nice about their hair or something about, you know, that they're looking fresh. Or just speak life tonight. Okay. It's great to have you here. And although we're not many, you know, God, Jesus is building his church. And it's amazing to hear about all these stories. From India, we've been in India, and what God is doing, wherever we go, God is moving and saying the same thing, and it's such a privilege, it's such an amazing, a challenging time to live, but such an amazing time to live, and I said it this morning, but I don't think the next year is going to be better in, you know, when we talk about circumstances, everybody wants to have a nice word, have a nice prophecy. I think it's actually going to get worse. I think it's going to... We're in the last days, so we shouldn't expect it to get better in the natural. But the most amazing thing is when we connect into God, we're going to experience the most amazing things and we're going to see the most amazing things. That's why it's so exciting to live now and to connect with God, to hear his voice. While our circumstances are going to change, and the church, I think, is going to change a lot in the next couple of years. Especially as Europe is changing, and Europe will probably become Islam in the next 5 to 10 years in many ways. So we're gonna have a new season dawning on the church. But that's so exciting. Could some of you say amen? Because it means we all need to change. We all need to adapt to what God is doing. And so let's just pray. As I'm going to continue on something that I shared 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. On the spirit of prophecy, I'm actually just going to finish what I actually wanted to say that evening, but I couldn't get to it because God had another agenda. But let's hope we can get to it. But even if we don't get to it, then hallelujah. As long as we connect with Jesus tonight, that's the main aim. Because we're not here to play church. We're here to experience God. And I'm hungry and thirsty for God. I don't know about you, but I want God. I want nothing fake. I don't want anything in between. I don't want half measure. I want everything that God has. Because I want him. His presence is my and your exceedingly great reward. And that was a good place to say amen. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Although some of us have come from the beach or wherever we are, Lord, we just lay down every distraction tonight. And Lord, we say it is finished. Your work has been completed. And we thank you for that finished work. We thank you that we can enter into that finished work tonight. We thank you, Lord, that tonight prison doors is going to open up. And the oppressed is going to be set free. Thank you, Lord, for the year of jubilee over our lives, Lord. We don't need to be slaves. We can be children of the Most High God. And tonight, Lord, we come to submit our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our everything to you. And they say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come and be glorified here tonight in our midst, Lord. And Jesus, I ask that you will walk the aisles. You walk through these chairs. And that you will touch every person through your Holy Spirit in a special way tonight. Lord, we don't want to just sit. We want to reach out to you. We want to touch the hem of your garment tonight. And we thank you for healing. We thank you for your fullness of life. We thank you, Lord, that we can feel accepted and loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you. That was a flow, amen, but we'll get there tonight. Just close the doors. How many of you are on holiday? Oh, at least half of the people. The others, how many of you are working? We're going to pray a special blessing over you in this time. Amen. Because while lots of people are at the beach, it's in any case, the weather is not nice at the beach. I just want to encourage you. The wind has been blowing. The 2 days that I was there, I'd rather want to be in Stellenbosch. Yeah, the sun is shining. I got more sunburned here in Stellenbosch today than the last 3 days at the beach. Because it's not nice at the beach. So those of you who are working, you're at a good place. I just wanted to say that. That's just for free. Okay, the spirit of prophecy. Let's read Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. That's the scripture we read last time. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the sound, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings. Now, you must have an imagination when you read this. When you have to sort of lock out of the natural and you have to focus on a little picture that Scripture gives us of heaven. John is writing here, he's got a revelation of heaven. And he says, look here, this is now like just the place where you sit around and you relax and it's like lying on the beach. You know, it's not good to lie on the beach because you get burnt on the beach and then you look like a raisin after 20 years. But, you know, but yeah, it says there's this massive thing of the voice of a great multitude. I don't know if you've seen lots of people together or if you witnessed one of these stadium events. Now, I've had the privilege of being in a crowd where there was over 1 million people at one of Reinhard Bonnke's crusades in Nigeria. Over 1 million people, and you're sitting on the stage and all these people are in front of you, these masses and masses of people. And then when they shout hallelujah, it literally feels like the earth, everything under you trembles. It feels like an earthquake. I can't explain to you that experience of having so many people shout hallelujah. But it was just one of those moments that changed my life and everybody shouting to God. And I felt, Lord, this must be the closest to heaven. This is what we're going to see in heaven. Millions of people shouting the name of Jesus. Like this scripture says, the voice of a multitude. So then he says, as the sound of many waters, it's like tsunami upon. Says he hears this voice and he's like trembling. This is a massive scene. It's like. It's going all over. Okay, it's just like. Many waters coming. And then it says, as the sound of mighty thundering. So these voices aren't just, it seems like thunder, like, it's like this overwhelming. Can you imagine this? I'm living myself into this scripture. But that's how we must read scripture. So you see like this, this is not just an ordinary little scene. Let's tiptoe through the tulips with Lord Jesus. Dun, 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 you know, that type of song. This is like an overwhelming. This is like a majestic. This is like when the people sing, it's like these sounds of masses and masses of people. It's like feels like thundering. It feels like, whoa, you know, that's the only thing you can say is whoa. And then saying, what this is what the voice of these masses say. It says, hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all powerful. Reigns. This is what this massive voice and these thunderings and this people scream out. They say, hallelujah. Do you know that's the only word that is in every language in the world? It's the word hallelujah. Wherever you can go, if you say hallelujah, people will know what that is. It's the only word. Praise be to our God. Yeah. So it says, hallelujah for this Lord God omnipotent reigns. Can somebody say that? Hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Can you say that? You must be like my little son. He's 3 years old, but you know, he comes when he wants something, then he comes with this loud, deep voice. Give me ice cream. Now. Yeah. He tries to threaten you with his voice, but that's like almost like a threatening voice. He says, hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory to him for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now he doesn't just say, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. No, he says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Write it down now. That's basically what he says. Okay, are you with me tonight? Some of you, it's like an exclamation mark. Lots of these things are like hyperbole, over-exaggeration, like huge, because heaven is going to be huge. Did you know that? We don't have a patch on earth to what's happening in heaven right now and what's going to happen. So this is like an amazing experience. He says, blessed are those who are invited. There's something happening. And prophetically, that is why so many marriages are attacked today. Because God is in the last days just going to reveal his glory to through two institutions. The one is marriage and the other one is the church, the local church. And that's why everybody is trying to get out of local church, trying to do their own thing, trying to whatever. But God has instituted church. He says, I will build my church and marriage here. And that's what it reflects here. He says, blessed are those who are invited, who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet. This is now John responding to the angel. He says, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, no, don't see that you don't do that. Don't do that, John, don't, no. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. He says, because, you know, when we get so overwhelmed, you know, we just want to worship anything around us, you know. You just want to fall to your feet because that's what's going to happen in the first million years in heaven. Did you know that? You're just going to stand like this. And then you're going to fall to your feet. Then you're just going to lie there. For 100,000 years. Then you're going to get up again, just like, and then the elders are going to cast their crowns before the throne, and you're going to do the same. There's going to be lots of ministry, floor ministry in heaven. Did you know that? Huh? It's going to be amazing because that's what's going to happen. And this is what John does. John doesn't matter. He doesn't know, you know, he doesn't care. We worship. He falls before this angel. And then this angel says to him something very specific. He says to him, don't worship me, worship God, because I'm just like you. I'm an angel, but I'm like your fellow brethren, like you who has the testimony of Jesus. This is what I want to get to tonight, because it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It says worship God. Don't worship me. Don't worship things. Don't worship church. Don't worship programs. Don't worship your cell group. Don't worship your pastor. Don't worship anything else. Worship God. Because you've got something. You have got the testimony of Jesus in your life. And then he says the testimony of Jesus works together with something else, which is called the spirit of prophecy. And then he saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he was sat on him. Because the moment when he realized there is a testimony of Jesus working together with the spirit of prophecy, what I'm going to talk about tonight, then suddenly your eyes begin to open up and you begin to see who Jesus was. And there's two specific words that was mentioned about Jesus. It says here a little bit late, to the one who is faithful and true. Say faithful and true. God is faithful and true, and he judges and makes war. The one who makes war. Then Jesus is not an ordinary little man, an ordinary little baby, or an ordinary little this. You know, I read something that really disturbed me this week about one of the big theologians in South Africa. And he was talking about the fact that Jesus is just a prophet, and he's just an ordinary man. And he's a big theologian there from Tikkies. And he wrote this whole article on pantheism and how important it is to understand that Jesus wasn't actually God. And then you think, my Khona, where did this man fall on his head? Somewhere he got, something he got wrong. Because if you read scripture and you understand scripture, you cannot align Jesus with just being an ordinary prophet and believing scripture. Jesus was either resurrected or he was not. You cannot believe half of the scripture. Are you with me tonight? So here, John has this revelation, but right in the center of this revelation, he says the testimony of Jesus. You, when you're saved, when you know God, you've got the testimony of Jesus. And this whole sermon came, and I shared it that, you know, after I was at the airport, I was standing there with another guy, and we were talking, and then a guy came walking past, and as he was walking past, because I was praying that day and that week, I said to God, show me, what does it mean to have the presence of God in my life? To mean that, Jesus, you really have me. I want to know what it means. Because sometimes I just see in the natural and I looked into natural stuff. And so here I was standing at the airport and this guy was walking past and he was like three steps past me and then he stopped like he froze. Then he turned around with his wide open eyes. He walked to me and he said to me, asked me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. He said, you know what? Because the Holy Spirit arrested me because I was so overwhelmed by the fact that you carry the presence of God with you. I'm also a pastor from Africa. And I want you to come. I want you to come and do a conference there. Well, we didn't know each other from anywhere, but this guy just invited me and it felt to me like I'd known this guy for years. Why? Because something supernaturally bonded us. He felt like my brother. Now he's been writing emails and all of that stuff and he's been phoning and, you know, and it's amazing to connect because there's a spirit connection. There's a testimony of Jesus that binds us together. Hello, are you with me? But when it comes to something else, this spirit of prophecy, let me just quickly read to you and I'm just going to go through this very quickly. When it comes to prophecy, sometimes people think are these massive words that somebody walks into your life and says, thus saith the Lord, I speaketh unto the earth, that thou must cometh upeth to thy highest places, and I shall saith unto the earth, that thou shalt experience this as me hath, but take off your sheweth, because I am like Moses at the burning busheth. Because right now, let me speak, but cleanse yourself first, because I'm a holy, but you shall come up to me. You know, and then you think like, that's wow, shivering, prophecy, the prophet has spoken. But prophecy, and especially when it comes to the gift of prophecy, do you know the main function of that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14? It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Some people think that the prophecy must rebuke, but prophets don't rebuke, or the gift of prophecy, to be more specific, don't rebuke people. It always exhorts, comforts, and edifies. Scripture will rebuke. Timothy says it. It says that Scripture is there for rebuke and for teaching and for instruction in the Lord. So Scripture will bring conviction in our lives, because Scripture says clear boundaries how we should walk and how we should serve God. But when it comes to the prophetic, it will never put shame on you or be negative or speak down at you. It will always comfort, exhort, and edify. And especially in the times that we are going, and if we don't know the spirit of prophecy, we are going to miss Jesus. Because we're going to need lots of comfort. Hello. We're going to need lots of edification. And I shared this morning, but you know what? It is so amazing. You can be in the most darkest place. Let me share a story with you. I was thinking about it this week. We were driving with these little tuk-tuks in India. I think it was about 6 years ago. And we lost two of the party members. Now, in Mumbai, if you've ever been to Mumbai, Mumbai is a massive city and it's got basically no infrastructure. So there's no road signs, no this. There are a couple of robots and it sometimes works, but when the rain comes down, the monsoon, it floods that city. So then the water goes like this deep from the floor in the streets. It just floods the city, and there are, I think, about 30 million people living in Mumbai, half of the population of South Africa. It's massive. It's not a good place to lose two of your team members, especially if they forgot their cell phone at home and they lost the piece of paper that you wrote the address on. Because normally we give out the addresses to everybody that they keep it in their pocket and they keep it with them, so that if they get lost, you give them extra money. So because you're driving these little vehicles stuff, and it's like far, it takes you like 2 hours to get to a party in the city. And so we went to this place and we lost two of these guys. The more creative type of guys, because they thought they're gonna understand how to get home, you know. My chona. 3 hours later of driving around, we were getting stuck in a traffic jam. Now, if you know India's traffic, everything feels like a traffic jam. Everybody is just like, there's no like roads. It's just like everybody just goes, you know. So here we get stuck, and we're stuck at this one place for half an hour. Now I realize we're in big trouble, because these two guys, we must fly out tomorrow evening, and we don't have a clue where they are. In a city of 30 million people, and you don't know where you are. It's just buildings. You haven't got a clue. And the driver doesn't understand. So now we're thinking, okay, we're going to need to leave them behind. They're not going to get to the hotel. Maybe they've got enough money to get, you know, 1 or 2 nights sleep. But we're in big trouble here, because we've lost two members. They just got lost. And so now we're sitting there. I said, okay, what do you do when you're in a situation like that? Well, the best is say, Jesus, help. You know, that's the best thing that you can. If you don't know what to do, just cry out to Jesus. Did you know that? That's what I train my kids. I say, if you don't know what to do, if you're in pain or agony, just cry out to Jesus. And then they do it, you know, just like kids. I'll tell you the story now. One night I woke up and my little girl screamed. She screamed, help, Jesus, help. And I thought, oh my God, she's getting attacked. So I rushed out. And then she was sitting on the toilet because she was a little bit constipated. So I just had to laugh around the corner, because I was thinking, well, I taught her, scream out, say to Jesus, help, you know, and she was struggling a little bit, so hallelujah. It was when she was a lot small. But to get back to the story, that's just an ad break, you know. But wherever you are, sometimes we want to get religious and we want to sort of, oh, no, but you can say to Jesus whenever you just say, help, Lord, I haven't got a clue, help me. That's like worship to God. And so here we were sitting in the traffic and we were saying, Jesus, help, we've lost him. So now we're beginning to pray. Now you see, you get these psych-up prayers. You get into emergency tongues. Have you ever seen people going to emergency tongues? You know, and then you start to control God. You start to manipulate God. You start to like, you start to tell God, okay, God, okay. You start to make these deals with God, you know. Some of you try that, you know. Hello. Some honest sinners in the house. Thank you for your honesty, huh? The rest of you. But sometimes you just go into this overdrive. You sort of like, you just try to tell God how God promises you. You know, you try to twist his arm and all that stuff. While we're busy there and we sort of praying and praying like the sweat is coming. It's 40 degrees and everything. And we're sitting in this tuk-tuk just being shut right there in traffic. The next moment, we were going this way and there was a road, a massive road of three lanes coming this road. The next moment, a tuk-tuk comes to stop right next to us, right against us. And guess who it was? We were stuck for 30 minutes. If we missed them with 3 minutes, we would have walked on. We would not have seen them because it's like there's lots of noise. But they came right, they stopped right against our little tuk-tuk thing. Now, some people may think that's chance. But you know what? God knows every second and every minute. When you pray to him, you can pray in the most weirdest place and then God is always going to be there. He always knows because he knew exactly that those two Democrat people are going to get lost. And he knew exactly that now he must cause a whole traffic jam in the middle of Mumbai for us. You can ask Dennis, he's been there. How many, there's some people that's been in India. It is a nightmare when somebody gets lost. But the amazing thing is when you call out to God and you hear what God says, then it doesn't matter what storm you're in or what happens around you, God always knows exactly. You must just find that peace with God, hear his voice, and then do what he tells you. Hello. And that's why God always edifies. And when God speaks to us, let me just read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, we as Christians, we don't have the big picture. When somebody tells you this is what you're going to do in the next 20 years and lays out your whole prophetic guideline and your prophecy, you know, your prophecy a day keeps the devil away, all that stuff. Some people run after these prophets and they go, well, you know, they fly all over the world and that's the biggest hogwash. Don't do that. Because if you can't find Jesus here, don't try and find him in America or somewhere else. Don't run after Jesus in other places. Find him right here where you are. Hello? You can go and learn from other people, but we don't go for the anointing and the prophets because they must now be like a fortune teller to us. No, no. Because even those people, and I said it this morning, I want to say it very, very softly and gently. No person on this earth can give to you what God can give you. And no person can tell you what only God wants to tell you. We are not in the Old Testament where you need to run to people, to prophets and priests and all these people to go and find out from them what God is saying. I've had many people over the years phone me and say, oh, I've heard that you move in the gifts or whatever, and won't you get a word for me or won't you get a word for my son? And please fast for a day because after the day, you know, then I'm going to phone you back and then you can tell me. And then the first moment I said to that one lady specifically, I said to her, look here, I've got a good idea. Why don't you fast and you hear from God what he tells you about your son and then you phone me after a day and you tell me what you think God is telling you and then I can confirm that with what God is, whether it's scriptural or not. But that's the only way I can help you because I am not a fortune teller. I am not a quick casino fix. Hello. And especially in the charismatic church, people, we must walk away from stuff that replaces the voice of God. That is the false prophetic and the false apostolic. It's where people will then begin to tell us what we want to hear. Because in the last days, scripture says there will be lots of people with itchy ears. Meaning they just want to hear what they want to hear. They run after stuff they want to hear, but they are not willing to go and sit down and read scripture for themselves and find out from God, God, what is your plan for my life? God, what are you saying right now? And I want to beg you, please, just take 1 hour off in this week and go and find out from God what is the word that he has for you for 2011. Because that word will sustain you. I've had many instances in my life where God has given me one word and then I hang on to that word for one dear life. Some of you know it, you know, a couple of years, 3 years or 4 years ago, my family and I, we were driving from Cape Town and the whole week, I was praying one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us. and protects us. I was just praying this. I couldn't pray anything, but the whole week, that was the only scripture that the Holy Spirit laid on our heart and on my heart. So I was praying it. I just said, Lord, I thank you for the covering of your blood. I thank you, Lord, that I'm protected by your blood. Thank you, Lord, that your blood witnesses. Lord, I don't even know exactly what it means, but I'm just praying. I'm putting your blood on the doorpost of my heart and of my family. And as we were driving down the N1, there coming down here into the Stellenbosch turn off, there was a black Volkswagen City Golf standing in the middle of the road, parked just down the little hill with its lights off. I was coming at 100 kilometers an hour, turning off, and still there was a car just on this side. And so I was looking at this car because this car was going so fast. And the next moment, as I was focusing on the road again, this car was right in front of us. And still today, you know, what happened is the guy just put his foot on the brake pad, whatever you call it, and the little brake lights went on. And it was like 4 meters before us. If he didn't do that, we would have not been here. The next moment, I swerved out. We rolled the car 3 times this way and 2 times over there, over its head, lying there. And then the guy spinned off, drove away, and there we were lying. I didn't even know whether the car was on its wheels or not. Everything was like kadunk in Seikas, as the Afrikaans said. It was just like completely wrecked. And then it's quite a tense time because then you start to scream out your wife's name and then your children's names, and everybody says yes and get them out of the car. And there was not one scratch. Just little Naomi, she was crying because she said, where are we going to find a car to buy food tomorrow? You know, we messed up our car. You know, that was her only worries. The next moment, like 10 seconds after that, you know, another car stopped. It was people that we met the previous week at a wedding. They were sitting on our table the previous week and they were driving past. So they took my wife and my kids. They took them home right away so I could stay behind. Yeah, and sort out everything. In the end, there was like these 30, 40 trucks there in the ambulances. The people got me into the ambulance because they said, there must be something wrong with you. You must have used alcohol because you can't come alive out of that car. Where are the other passengers? No, they've gone home. They're fine. That's right. You know, no, this can't be true. You sit down, blow into this little pipe, you know, go on. And I just like, and so I almost said, I blow the Holy Spirit over you. You know, in the end, the traffic guy was there and he said, oh, you're from that church Shofar. I remember you were doing the community week. Oh, you did something wonderful. And then we got them, and then all these like people that, you know, with these trucks stood there, and we sort of had this mini sermon. I just said, God is good, you know, and all like, can we have your car? No, let me just talk to you first. So we had like a mini conference service there next to the road, you know. But as we drove off, my mother-in-law, she prayed. She went into a room and she started to pray. Lord, thank you for the protection of your blood. I plead your blood over them. Thank you that your blood protects them. She didn't know why. Half an hour after that, we had this accident. But you know, God is faithful. God is true. And God wants to speak. Now, some people might say, oh, you were full of sin. Oh, why did God allow that? Now, I don't care if God allowed it or he didn't allow it or what happened. The fact is, I'm standing here and I'm giving a testimony of the goodness of God. I could have been dead. Now, see, the negative, super spiritual, condemning, perfectionist type of religious people will always say, oh, find the root, because maybe there's an open door in your life. Maybe there's this. Now, I just know scripture says God will work all things together for good. But I'm living in a sinful and a broken down world, and that means that some people are going to die around me. But all I know is God will turn everything for good if I stand on his word, because I'm called according to his purpose. Can somebody say amen? So God wants to edify us. God wants to comfort us. God wants to strengthen us. God wants you to stand up there and say, hallelujah, devil, you try to kill me. But let me tell you, because that's the first thing I did. I just walked behind the car and I said, devil, you try to kill my family. You try to do that again. I'm claiming 1,000 souls in Jesus' name. No. 1,000 is too many. I say 100,000 souls. I claim 100,000 souls for this blood that you wanted to shed, because the blood of Jesus was already shed on the cross. And I tell you, devil, I don't talk to you anymore. And if you try this again, I tell you, you are going to get a snoy clap in your life that you will feel surrounded by angels. Okay? That's what I said to him. Sort of that way. Okay. So God gives us, you know, because sometimes we just go through this life and we sort of say, oh, maybe this happened. This cancer was it? No. Oh, maybe God just... Well, God is a good God. God wants us to follow him and to know him and to do great and mighty exploits. Because there's a world out there that needs to see the goodness and the love of God. Can somebody say amen? So when it comes to this prophecy, God does not give us the whole picture, but he always gives us enough to be obedient to be able to do his will. Prophecy also is always there for confirmation and not revelation. The golden rule is, and you must come to the school of the supernatural that we do. We teach you how to prophesy. We teach you how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you know, it always, what God speaks will always concur with the word, confer with the spirit. That's the golden rule. Nothing will be contrary to his word. And that's why we always must go on the peace and the witness of the Holy Spirit. That is the thing that is going to keep us in the last days, or the good ladies, the virgins whose lamps are full of oil. The other ladies, the virgins, they also knew the bridegroom. They also had an expectation that the bridegroom was coming, but they were not prepared. And the door was shut on them. The only virgins that made it were those who were ready, whose little lampstands were filled with oil, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. We will not make it in the last days if we don't have a living, active relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the voice of God that is telling Noah, Noah, build an ark. And then everybody around Noah says, what's an ark? No, it's like this little ship thing. It's going to rain. For 40 days, it's going to rain. What is rain? No, rain is water that falls. Because you know, before Noah, rain didn't fall. And so Noah would have to explain to them, get a little conference there going, all the church leaders, all the people around him says, you know, rain is going to fall, water is going to fall out of the sky. What are you talking about, Noah? No, it's rain. Rain. What? Rain. And if you don't get your life sorted out, there's going to be some problems. Noah, you cuckoos. Noah, you've missed it. But you know, Noah had a word of God. He had the word of God in his heart and he built an ark. He said, okay, God, even if I'm a fool, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Because, Lord, I know you're faithful and true. I know the testimony of Jesus. I know the word of God. But listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. Because one of the things that we as Christians, you know, sometimes we just go through life. We sort of say, oh, maybe it's going to happen. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to happen. Maybe God has got a plan. Maybe he hasn't got. But when I look at the earth, when I look what's happening at the moment, doesn't look too good. Doesn't look like, you know, God is really in control. Do you think God has really got a plan? Do you think God is, do you think really God knows what he's doing? Because things doesn't look too good in my life. Circumstances, my chuna. And I've prayed a lot. And it seems like God is not coming through. I want to tell some people here tonight. You read Revelations. These are massive bowls of incense. Like these massive. Now, imagine a little bit again with me, okay? These massive, massive containers. Now, it's not full of meat. It's not full of steak. It's not full of all those nice things. It's full of the incense. It's called the praise of the saints, the worship and the praise of the saints. And it's like before God's throne, every time when you pray, every time when you worship, you're building a monument before God's throne. You're filling that massive bowl. Maybe you're praying for a family member, or you're praying for somebody, you're praying for something, and you feel like, oh, my God, I've been praying for 5 years, I've been praying for 10 years, I've been praying for 20 years, and it seems like nothing has happened. I tell you, God is not mocked. God is not a liar. Because those bowls are getting filled. And in Scripture says, some other time it just tips over. And then there's just like, just floods us. God just begins to intervene. Doof, doof, doof. Don't know if you've experienced that, but it feels like this dry season, and then suddenly God is just like moving. Then suddenly God is like, poof. You know, 400 years of silence in the Old Testament, after the Old Testament, and then suddenly the word becomes flesh. Scripture says, suddenly Jesus comes onto the scene in the fullness of time. I love what Scripture says. In the fullness of time, Jesus comes, and then he lives for 1 hour. 30 years, we don't actually read about him, but then 3 years, he ministers, and then just he says, for this 1 hour, I've come into this world. 1 hour, there's going to be 1 man. God is not confused. God is never late. God is not trying to do something and then seeing whether we, no, no, no. Do you know what? God is moving. You know, and whether you sit in the church in China, I've had the privilege to be there. You come into the church and there are 300 people sitting in a little auditorium there. Nobody says a word. Then they say, today we're going to have a special worship service. And then you think, hallelujah. We're going to worship God with a Chinese church. And you're so excited. It took us 3.5 hours to get into the church service. No, it was 2.5. Kubus, how long was it? They sneaked us in. Was Kubus here? Well, he's standing there. But it took us a while. The one time when it took us so long, there weren't so many people. But it's amazing when they sit there and they worship. But there's just... I give you praise. This is what they sing. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. And then they just worship. And then the tears begin to run. And the presence of God come in. And they don't say a word. Because they're not allowed to. And then they have this intense worship experience with God. And then you go to the church and you hear what God is doing. Just young people standing up. More than 1 million people. Just in 1 year. 1.5 years. 100 million people. In the Chinese church, marching, and they've got one vision. They say, we want to get back to Jerusalem, but we're going to go through the Arab world. We are going to evangelize the Arab world because we're going to lay down our lives there. We're going to shed our blood there. They call it the Silk Way. Then you hear these people, they've got 100,000 people signed up already that's going to lay down their lives physically for Christ. They say, it doesn't matter what happens in this Muslim world, we're going to go through. We're going to serve Christ because we want to see His glory manifest in the Arab Muslim world. Then your heart begins to pump. Say, God, you're moving. Then you feel nowhere. Say, Lord, where are we in the West? Please don't miss us, God. Please don't pass us by. You know, like that donkey in Shrek. Mimi, pick me. I also want to be part of that, God. But you know, when we come to church, sometimes we feel like, oh, God, I'm doing you a favor because I got out of bed this morning. Lord, it's been difficult for me, but I am here. Look at me, Lord. I'm worshiping you. Sharp. Oh, they don't even have a drum set here tonight, a drummer. But maybe. Oh yeah. Four songs. Four songs. Yeah. And that guy preaches long. It's 7:10 already. I've missed the closing of the cricket. Oh, my God. And then we go on and we go on, yeah. But then, do you know what happens is our expectation level drop. And we don't expect God to move in church. We don't expect God to do stuff and to heal people. Because our expectation level is down there. And do you know what? You can only get what your perception is of God. If you don't see Jesus as a healer, if you don't expect Him to save you and to heal you and deliver you, do you know what? He cannot do that. Because it's our hearts. It's what we expect of Him that opens up. And that is what the talents is about. Did you know that? The 10 and the 5 and the 1 talent. It's not about your little talents and what you do with that. Scripture talks it's about a perception. Because the guy with the 1 talent, he said, Master, I have perceived you to be a man who reaps where you have not sown. And because of my perception of you, that you're an angry man and that you just want to take stuff away, I took my little talent and I hid it in the ground so that at least I can give it back to you. Because that is my perception of you, that you're a man like that. You are a ruler and you're going to come back to vengeance and take back this little 1 talent so that I can at least stand before you and give this talent. One of the gospels says, take away what he has and give it to the other person. The literal actually means they take away what he does not have and give it to somebody else. Now, how can you take away something from somebody that he doesn't have? Well, very simply because in his eyes, he's got nothing. In his perception and where he stands to God, he has got nothing. And so when it comes to the gift of prophecy, something that God releases is God releases you to see who God is and you feel encouraged. God begins to release to see who you are. And then God, thirdly, begins to tell you and show you who the people around you are. And you begin to treat them in that way. But it starts with God, because that's what the testimony of Jesus does and the spirit of prophecy does. You begin to see God and you begin to trust God that what he says and who he says he is that. He cannot lie. He cannot go against his word. He is not unfaithful. He's not a liar. He is faithful and true. Can somebody say amen? So once you get that right and you begin to say, okay, God, you are big. And that's why worship is so important. That's why opening up your heart and just speaking and singing those songs, even when it feels to you like, whoa, God, you aren't big. You begin to speak it over your life. You say it, Lord, you are almighty. You, Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one who is the beginning and the end of everything, the Alpha and Omega. He is the bright shining star. He is the big counselor, the mighty one, the almighty God. He is marvelous in all of his ways. He cannot, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And he has created me. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm created in Christ Jesus, and wow, I am a marvelous being. Hello. You're a blessing. I'm a blessing. Because once you begin to see who God is, God begins to show you who you are. And that's what I said it this morning. But you know what? The New Testament would not have been the New Testament if it wasn't for one person. His name is called Barnabas, who was an encourager. He was the son of encouragement. Because while everybody was freaking out about who this Saul guy was that turned to Paul on the road of Damascus, lots of years went by until he got up to Jerusalem. They say about 14 years. So it's not just like this, woo, experience with Jesus. And he was standing there and say, okay, let's be ready. Let's go change the world. Come, Christians, follow me. No, Paul had like 10 times. You know, there was like little one prophet. It was Agabus, eh? Was it him? Was it, what was his name? Can somebody remember? Got a blank now. But so he had to, like, Paul was standing there in the road called Straight, and then God had to give the prophet. He says, look, you go to the road Straight and you tell that man, his name is Saul, he's Paul, you go and tell him what to do. Then the prophet says, oh, God, do you know what this man has done? He's been killing people and he's probably going to kill me. Just imagine this little prophet, you know, like, ooh, 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 hunky-dory, Lord. No, rather give me a prosperity gospel thing, Lord. Show me how I must change the nation. Now you tell me I must go to this murderer and I must tell him what that you've got a plan for his life. My chona, God, are you falling on your head? Don't you know what you're doing? This man is killing Christians and now you're sending me there to go and tell. Now here goes this little prophet. He goes like, wimpy prophet, I'm going to lay down my life for Christ. Now imagine him coming into that road called Straight, because God gave him like straight, clear instruction. And he must have gone to the toilet 40 times before he went there. Repented of all his sins, because he just knows he's going to go to Jesus now. Here comes into this little road. He comes into this little house. He stands up there. He says, okay, I tell you, God has got a plan for your life. Just imagine that. And now this whole road, now he comes, this Barnabas guy gets onto the scene a little bit later. Because now James and these people in the church in Jerusalem, they are freaking out. Because what is, don't bring this person next to us. And Barnabas takes the hand of Paul. Takes him and says, look, here, he's changed. I've witnessed. I've gone that. But I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to take this man because he's going to change the world. Now, I must be honest. If there was a Saul today, I would have said, stone him. He's killed all the Christians. Now, God calls the most unlikely people. And if we don't have this spirit of prophecy, if we don't understand the testimony of Jesus, what Jesus can do in one life, we're going to miss God in the last days. But that's the amazing thing of Scripture. And that's why Paul writes here. He says to Timothy, Timothy, you fight the good fight. You wage warfare with the words that has been given to you by prophecy. Because you're going to need those words. Read that. It says, this I charge you. He says, I don't try to beg you, Timothy. He says, I charge you, Timothy. Because you're going to get into tough times and you're going to need to stand, because people are going to say, you're too young, you're too this, you're too fat. You know, some of us, we must shake off probably tonight, you know, the Christmas eating thing, you know, that is, you know, makes us a role model because we've overeaten the last couple of days. But no condemnation. Amen. No condemnation. You just relax. You know, you are a role model. Just make peace with that. That's not a word from God. That's a word from sales. Just be a role model. But he says, this charge I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. He says, Timothy, you don't back off. Timothy, you don't get back on the words that has been spoken of you. Because everything around you is telling you at the moment that you're wimpy, whatever. Everybody around you, the people even around you are telling that you're worthless. And you are too young, you're single. How can you run this big church and this massive church? But Timothy, I tell you, you're going to need to wage a warfare with the words of God spoken over your life. You're going to need to take them because they're precious from God. They're there to encourage you. God speaks words of life over you. Like he spoke over Saul at the road of Damascus, and Saul had to take that word because people were coming against him. And then he says, look here, I'm not eloquent in speech. I didn't come to you in this greatness or whatever, but I come to you in demonstration of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we see this boldness. We see this over massive just place of something happening in Paul's life. But you know what? There was a Barnabas in between. There was an encourager. Some of you need to be encouraged here tonight. Some of you need to go and encourage other people. Because that is going to unleash the supernatural, I believe, when we start to manifest the words of God in our lives. When we start to speak and think about other people and about ourselves and over ourselves as what God sees. God has challenged me a while ago, and I've shared it here before. He said, you are a blessing. Tell those people you are a blessing. Lord, feels a bit awkward, you know, because I'm not going to get into pride. So many of us are getting motivated by the wrong stuff. It's fear. Oh, I'm going to be so afraid. You know, the Lord said something very funny to me. He said the other day, and he actually said to Fred the same thing. He said, you know, if you're going to make me famous, do you know what? I'm going to make you famous first. Because how can you make somebody famous if you're not famous? If the beggar on the street says, oh, whoa, how can he make God famous? Unless God raises him up to be famous so that he can make God famous. Hello. But you know, we're so afraid of falling into pride. Because maybe, you know, Satan, Lucifer fell from heaven itself. And he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. You be careful. He was a worshiper. But if there's pride in your heart, it's going to be discerned and you are going to fall. But you know, then our motivation when we come to God is always fear and negativity and condemnation and shame and all these negative stuff. So that when we stand before God, we don't have a boldness to come to him because we don't know who God is. We don't know who we are. We don't know the people around us until God begins to tell like 12 ordinary people and say, look here, with you, I'm going to change the world. What? Jesus, are we going to sit at your right hand here on earth? Come on, bring down the lightning, Jesus. They missed God completely, those 12 disciples. But they were ordinary people changing the world. Because Jesus spoke life over them. Jesus encouraged them. Jesus edified them. Jesus comforted them many times. And people, we have to cleanse our mouths. Because scripture says, sweet and bitter water cannot come from the same fountain. You have to speak life. Shake somebody next to you and say, you're still looking good tonight. You're still looking well. Are you with me? Okay. I'm going to jump a couple of things. We have to discern prophecy. I'm just going to read through it. I'm not going to talk about this now because we want to get to some ministry time. But you know, there are lots of stuff going around on the prophecy, which is not prophecy. And that's why scripture says in the last days, we must really be careful and we must not run after signs and wonders. We must follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, these things will follow us. So how do you discern prophecy? You look at the fruit of the person's life. You judge the prophecy and the life of the prophet. You can judge. We can judge. We don't criticize, but we must judge the fruit on somebody's life. And how do you judge that? Well, you look at that prophet's manhood, the personhood, the ministry, the message that they bring, the maturity, their marriage. You look at the methods that they use. You know, are they like just pushing people over? And, you know, these, and then especially the manners, the money. The money thing is a big thing. Okay? Especially when it comes out of America sometimes. Ooh, you better be careful. Don't run after people. Don't run after things. And we must judge the fruit of that life and of that ministry. The person, the word, and the ministry. The three things. When somebody wants to prophesy and they say they're a prophet or whatever. We must look at morality, the motives. You know, there was a guy here prophesying outside of town here. And he was he was prophesying to all the business people. He said he's got a calling to business people. He was not married, but he prophesied into their marriages. He came from a country up in Africa. He didn't have a work permit. He wasn't here legally. And he was drinking coffee every second day. I got him in the coffee shop somewhere. And he was feeding off the money of the widows because he got them to pay for him. So he walked up to him and said, look here, you are no prophets, no nothing. You get a job, start to get out of your mother's house and live off her pension. And you start to make a success of your life in business. And then God will give you a platform to prophesy into business people's lives. But stop your nonsense and your flaky stuff, because God does not take you from nowhere to be somebody great. He says he takes you from faith to faith. You must be faithful in somebody else's thing, and then you will be faithful over me. From glory to glory, from strength to strength. God does not take us from nothing to superstar. There are no superstars in the kingdom. There's only one. Its name is Jesus Christ. He will take all the glory. Hallelujah. Hello. And people, we're going to see lots of prophetic stuff. But I'm not saying this to be negative tonight. I'm saying for us to discern the real thing. It's the power of encouragement. The power of speaking God's word. Then we need to beware of flattery, of manipulation. People that walk into your life and they just want to flatter you. They want to get something out of what they say. We must have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like I said previously. We must learn to discern the basic or the center. If it's so complicated and so heavy, you know, when people start to prophesy names and babies and dates and stuff over your life, stop the bus. Prophecy normally is not concerning future things. It's encouragement, exhortation, and edification. It's not about future events. That is more the word of wisdom. But too many people are calling themselves self-proclaimed prophets and all this stuff. But you know, God wants us to speak his word. The scripture says we must record and write it down for it's for an appointed time. Many times God will give words. There's some words in my life that God has given me in 1989, 21 years ago, and it still has not come to pass. I'm still nowhere concerning those words that he's given me. And you know what? I had a dream the one night. I'm not going to share the dream because I haven't shared it with people before. I shared the first one, but I didn't share the second and the third one. But I had this dream, and I thought, wow. So then I interpreted it, and I shared the first dream. I shared it with some of my friends. And then exactly 6 months later, I had a second dream that continued from that first one. Then I realized, oh my khuna, I missed God completely with the interpretation of the first one. Because my circumstances determined what God was saying to me through this dream. So then I kept quiet. Then I thought, well, now I've got the interpretation. Then exactly 6 months later, exactly to the day, I dreamt the third dream that continued from where the second one stopped. And that was 21 years ago. But it's the most amazing thing. That dream is still alive in my heart like it was 21 years ago. And the most amazing thing is I know God is going to do it. I'm still seeing it. It's fresh before me. But you know, I don't make it cheap. I don't share it with people. I don't run around with it on my sleeve. Why? Because I know it's costed me something. It costed me 21 years. And I'm still learning all the way. Maybe it's going to take another 20 years. And maybe there's just going to be 3 months. And then God is going to do in those 3 months what he has promised for 51 years. Hello. Moses took 18 years in the desert. David took 14 years. Joseph, many years in prison. Anybody that wanted to do great things for God, they had a word from God, but that word was tested by fire. Now, we don't hear that in the prosperity gospel. Oh, because you need to feel good. You need to, no, no, no. If God is going to give you a word, if there's a calling on your life, it is going to cost you everything. Because all hell will break loose against you. Why? Because the devil is not worried about people out there that hasn't got a sock with the calling of God, that's going nowhere. But when there's a calling on your life like there, I believe for everyone here, there is, do you know what? All hell is going to break loose. You are going to be tested in that word. Why? Because everything around you is going to say, no, it's not going to happen. Give up. Just get on. Just have an ordinary life. But when, you know, when we're children of God, God says, whoever is born of God has overcome this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can somebody say amen? Woo! Okay. Last one. What we need to do is when we talk about the spirit of prophecy as the basis of encouragement, of being able to see who God is, then being able to see who you are, realizing that you're a blessing. Wherever you go, you've got the presence of God with you. People's lives are going to change. I'm experiencing it in the most amazing ways. You know, we've doing a little bit of a building project, and there's this guy that's, you know, just against all odds, this guy is now doing the building project. And I don't know if you've ever had a building project happening in your, just redoing a little bathroom in your house. It is like chaos. It's dust all over. You know, everything gets tested. Your marriage gets tested. Your relationships, your relationship with your dog gets tested. Your relationship with the swimming pool gets tested. Everything gets tested, you know, because you're just doing a little thing, you know. How many of you had a building project? Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't ever. But in any case, so standing there, you know, just this week, and all hell broke loose at a moment. There was this guy doing the building project. I realized the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, this is the one purpose. It's for this moment that this whole thing is happening and you're going through this whole thing. It's so that you can minister to this person. I said, thank you, Jesus. I've heard your voice. Now suddenly I can begin to treat this man differently because suddenly he feels attracted to me. He just comes to stand there in the kitchen and he comes to share and he comes to say stuff and the most bizarre stuff. Now he's even gone so far that he's going to work tomorrow, Monday. Tomorrow is a holiday. Do you know that? Public holiday. He's working tomorrow during a 3-month building vacation holiday thing. He's working on a public holiday because he said he just wants to do it. I said, bring it on. Jesus is going to change your life. But you know what? Wherever we go, when we start to realize that when we minister to people and we connect with people, we are a blessing. People's lives are going to change because of Jesus living inside of us. If you're a married couple like Tienes and Kuba, they just came back, you know. When you walk into that house, you say, this house is open. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to, you know, people are going to feel attracted to us. Do you know how attractive Jesus was? The masses just came to him. Some just came to sit at his feet. Some just hanged around him and said, you know, can you feel the karma in this place? Can you feel the difference? Can you feel like there's something positive in the atmosphere? I had this one guy coming up to me the one day, him and his wife. He said, you feel so positive. I said, oh. He says, yes, there's such a connection. In your aura, there's an aura around you. I said, yes, can I tell you about it? He says, yes. Because it's just something. It doesn't push me off. It draws me in. I said, it's called the Holy Spirit. He says, oh, the what? I said, the Holy Spirit. And you just be careful. Because he's going to come to visit you. And you're going to feel a bit uncomfortable when he comes. Because I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you, thank you. He says, but what you must do tonight is just before you go to bed, just call on the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come. Woo! I was sitting up and I was thinking, what is God doing in this man's life? Yeah. But you know what we normally want to do is want to say, stop being a sinner. Stop. We try to play the role of the Holy Spirit. Well, we just get the person to, you know, because the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. We don't need to tell them, you're a smoker, you're a bad sinner. No, just discern where God is moving. God is moving. God is all over this man's life. He hasn't got a clue what's happening, but he just feels there's an aura. There's like a whoa, you know. And I say, come Jesus, bring it on. Come Jesus, Holy Spirit, just be all over him. Come and touch him. I've had people walk up to me that has dreams. And they say, I don't know, I have a clue what this dream is. But this man in the white clothes appeared to me. Do you want to know who that man is? You know, when we are around, people will have dreams. They'll have experiences with God. Why? Because we're there. We're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're an ambassador for Christ. Can somebody say amen? And so I'm asking you tonight, just start to look at where God is moving in your life. If it's just a little bit, focus on that. Say, God, I want more of that. Don't focus on the negative, the imperfection, and the stuff that you must get right, and the struggling, and always like getting your life in order because your 10 steps are not working out. You're getting to 7.5 every time, but then you flaw, you know. And then, oh, my chona, let's start all over again. Because my reading program, you know, and especially with New Year's resolutions, we come up there and we say, oh, I'm going to read more Bible this year. I know I must do that. Okay, let's start, you know. By January the 7th, you have forgotten. Then the spirit of condemnation comes all over you. Then you say, oh, you repent for 3 months because you must first get over the spirit of condemnation because you have missed God. You have not come to your New Year's resolution because this year, Lord, I want to at least do this one thing for you. No, no, no. Just start to follow Christ. What are the fish and the bread in your hand? Say, Lord, I've got a little bit to give, but Lord, I want you to multiply it wherever I go. Lord, I've got this one gift. You know, I've had people, and I'm going to share something out of my heart now, but 5 or 6, no, it was more years ago. This one man that stood up in the pastor's meeting. You know, and I can flow in the word of knowledge. I don't try to, the word of knowledge where you have a supernatural knowledge concerning things in people's lives, normally connection with the past or what's happening in their life. So I can flow in that. I just know, and I always, my prayer was always, I said, God, I've got one gift. I don't have a clue about the other stuff, but there's one gift working in my life, and I want to give this gift to you. I want you to use it in my life. I want you, Lord, I want to excel in this one gift. Because, Lord, I've got one gift, and I'm clueless. I miss you most of the time, but, Lord, there's one thing that I have. I'm bringing it to you. You have to multiply it because I'm bringing it to you. It's not my gift. It's yours. Do you know, after I prayed that prayer, about 3 weeks after that, in a pastor's meeting, a pastor jumped up. Now, we were talking about other things. This pastor jumped up. He turned around in that meeting. He looked straight at me. And he said, before all of those other people, all other pastors, there were about 30 or 40 pastors there. He said, and that's us. That guy who thinks he can move in the word of knowledge. That guy who can whatever. You know, he's just moving in presumption. He's just, oh, no, 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 no. And he was going off. And I was sitting there. I was so bomb shocked. I thought, what on earth has this got to do with the meeting that we're busy talking about? Or all of that stuff. And that guy came right. He came straight against me. I walked out there for 2 days. I couldn't breathe. I was thinking, I was so bomb shocked. I didn't expect it from anywhere. After 2 days, the Holy Spirit said to me, do you know what he said? Just turn it around. And let me use you in that place. Because then I had to strengthen myself in God. I said, okay, God, I know I've got this gift, but now everybody around me is saying, well, maybe it is flattery. Maybe you are using, maybe you've got a counterfeit spirit. Maybe, you know, oh, and everybody was talking about that. Then I went to God, I heard from God, and God said, okay. And I said, okay, Lord, what the devil has intended for bad, you are going to turn it for good. So here I come, devil. So I turned around again, like at the car the other day, devil. You're going to pay for this one. I'm not negotiating with you. But God is going to change people's lives because God said so. Not because I'm special or anything like that. So now I get the most scariest things. I can't even tell you. Even natural stuff, I get the word of knowledge that doesn't feel spiritual at all. Some of you are going to completely be shocked. I can discern. No, let me not say this. I know who wins the Durban July horses, stuff like that. I know it because I have got a gift from God. I don't use it, so just relax. But when you start to operate in God's things, you know, there's a supernatural dimension that you go into that you can just know the supernatural. So I can even discern the natural. Now, that's scary for some of you, but you know what? When you take that gift and you give it back to God, that one little thing that you have, God starts to move. But only in the atmosphere of encouragement. Only in an atmosphere where you're not negative. And some of you here tonight, you must forgive yourself for the stuff that you have said over yourself, that you have done wrong, the decisions that you have made and stuff in your life. And God is going to set you free tonight. And you're going to start to walk in the fullness of God because you're going to say, I'm a son of God. The whole earth is waiting in anticipation, the whole of creation, for the revelation of me and of you. When you wake up in the morning, you must go like David, awake, O day, stand up. You're not coming to me, I'm coming to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So no, condemnation, you go in Jesus' name. No, no, shame, you want to come over me, spirit of duvet, I bind you in Jesus' name. I'm standing up, I'm worshiping God. Oh, mountain, Stellenbosch Mountain, Otmaskop. Look at the sun. Son of God. You better obey because if I'm going to tell you to move, you're not going to look so beautiful anymore. I'm going to put you in the karoo if you don't behave. And Botmaskop, I tell you, you better listen to the word of God. Now, you're not going to praise God. I'm going to praise God because I'm not going to let any rock out praise me. But you better listen because you're going to the Northern Cape and it's very hot there. So you just better behave. Okay, that's settled. Now, Lord, where do you want to move today? Here I am. Now that may sound like, ooh, chona. But you know what? Children of God know their God. And they've got a boldness to speak His word. Because they've heard from Him. They know who He is. They know who they are. And then they begin to see other people. They begin to say, well, you. What's your name? Ruan. Ruan. Johan. It's Afrikaans, Johan. Okay. You're a gentle warrior. And there's a big calling on your life. Did you know that? Okay, weet jy dit? Vanaand weet jy dit. Okay, en moenie vir net die normale settel nie. Okay, en die Here sê vanaand vir jou, dat daar gaan 'n plek kom, waar jy goed vir hom gaan bou. Ek weet nie wat dit beteken nie, maar jy sê net vir hom, ja Here, ek wil sien hoe jy dinge begin establish deur my lewe. En die Here roep jou soos 'n bouer. Okay, en daar's baie idees en gedagtes, maar moet nooit te klein dink nie. Okay Johan, don't think too small. Because the God that you're serving is a massive God. You just start to follow him with all of your heart. And you're going to see how he turns. There's going to be tsunamis. The tables are going to turn under the sea when you come to the shore. Not because you're special. Just because God is great. And he's called you and his hand is upon you. Okay? And don't worry about those things in your family. God is going to sort it out. Okay? He's going to change your whole family. Hulle gaan radical vir God wees. In many ways, there's certain praise in your life. You verstaan wat ek sê, nee? Okay? God gaan hulle omdraai. Don't worry about that. His hand is on your life. Okay. Let's stand tonight. You know, all of us here, I don't know about you, but God loves to encourage us. And yeah, sometimes we walk around and we've got this sort of, there's an Afrikaans word, a Jannie jammerheid. Jannie self-pityheid. Self-pityness. I don't know how you pronounce that. Jannie jammerheid. Ek sal dit nou nie in die kerk sê nie, maar in elk geval. But you know what? We've got this massive self-pity thing. And I'm not here to try and give you a boost tonight or try. We're not here for spiritual injections or drugs. God is not into drugging people. You get up into this high and now it feels like this intense high. No, God is a consistent encourager. He comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, did you know before you were even formed, I knew you. Jeremiah placed my name on you. Abraham, I want you to change your name. I'm going to put half of my name in your name, Abraham, so that you can be Abraham. Because you know, when I as God come to place my name on you, when I come to place my stamp of approval on you, then you become the father of nations. And then you know, Abraham, every family in the earth shall be blessed through you. Because do you know what, Abraham? I'm making you a blessing. And you know, that is the most amazing thing. When this awesome, magnificent, powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God that knows everything that is not limited to space and time. When he stops the bus and he says, you at the back there, I want to tell you what I think about you. Now, I tell you, I need encouragement a lot. I thought it was like once a month, but I think it's about once a week. I go to God, I say, God, I'm tired. Especially at this time of the year, Lord, it's just dust in my house. It's just like all over the place. And my kids just want ice cream all the time. But that's all right. But God, I want to come like David. I want to run to you and I want to strengthen myself in you. And then, you know, God begins to surprise you. God begins to show you little things. God begins to tell you. God begins to confirm. God begins to release. And then do you know what? You begin to speak that life over other people around you. Because I can tell you honestly, God has done something in my heart. When I look at people today, I look at them completely different. Do you know what my first prayer is? I come to God when I meet you. I come. I say, Lord, this man, the world sees him maybe as a loser. But Lord, how do you see him? Because he's a mighty man. Because God, you don't make any junk. But Lord, I ask that you release over this man, Lord, because he's not just an ordinary little builder trying to survive. But he's come many ways and many roads and many months and he's struggled a lot. And there are many things that has been happening in his life. But he's here for a purpose. Because there's a calling on his life. Lord, I want to thank you for this man. Lord, show me how you feel about this man. Because he's mighty in God. You have created no junk. You've made him and he's the apple of your eye. Lord, this lady here, she's the most quiet lady. His name is Yolandi. She's come to look after my kids sometimes. But she's the greatest blessing around. Because you know what, God, you're going to use her mightily in healing people. Because she's going to be a mother to many people. She's going to have lots of kids. Lord, I just see orphanages. I just see, Lord, she's going to have such a blessing because she's got such a big heart. That's God's word for you. I'm not trying to flatter you. But because she's got a heart to serve Jesus. She's come to sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, this lady over here. What's your name? Sorry. Carol. Karen. Karen. Lord, how do you see Karen? Because she's beautiful to you. Lord, and I see her like an intercessor, like a warrior. Lord, and she's many times felt alone. And Lord, I just see her walking a road, Lord, a very, very specific road, God, where other people have ridiculed her and have spoken things over her, Father, and misunderstood her. There's been so many misunderstandings around her. But I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you that she's preparing your bride. You're calling her specifically, Lord, to make the garments for your bride, to be prepared and to stand holy, blameless, spotless, wrinkleless before you one day. And the Lord sees all of your prayers and all of your desires and all of those cries. Yeah. Even for people around you, there's certain relationships that you're really standing in. But the Lord says he knows all of that stuff. And he's pleased with you. Did you know that, Carol? He's so pleased with you. Did you know that? Is this your husband? What's your name, sorry? Mike. Father, I want to thank you for Mike. And I want to thank you, Lord, that he's been standing strong. And Lord, that you are releasing him, Lord, to really impart vision to younger people. Father, it's not the end of his days. It's only the beginning. Thank you, Lord, that all the stuff that he's been going through, Lord, there's been some speed wobbles and stuff, Lord. But I want to thank you, Father, that it's all been preparation ground for him. And thank you, Lord, that you're giving him, Lord, especially the ability, Lord, to break the yoke, Lord, of people struggling with the spirit of poverty. And that you're going to release, Lord, over him that ability, Lord, to release your giftings over them. Do you know God speaks words of life? What's your name? Biwa. Biba. Biba. Yeah, they can make a song of your name. Did you know that, Biba? Have they? But you know what? Do you know Jesus, Biba? Okay. Do you love him? Do you know how much he loves you? You've got an idea. But you know what? You just follow him because there's a purity in your heart that I see. Okay? And there's been lots of questions. Sometimes you ask lots of questions, okay? But it's all right with God to ask those questions because he's going to give you the answers. But you just wait for the answers, okay? Don't be impatient with him because it's like a diamond. That's your life. He's shaping the diamond. Sometimes we don't understand, but he's there to reflect his glory. And as you just follow him, do you know what? He's going to lift you up. But it's all to reflect his glory. It's like to have that diamond, but you're in his hand, okay? So you just follow him. You ask those questions. Don't be impatient with God. Don't run away, because sometimes you want to just run away. You just want to say, God, I want to know now, and you don't want to tell me and all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, okay? You just stay in there. You just stay in there. The Lord is waiting, and he's waiting, and he's teaching you to wait on him, because out of it, like, the beauty of God is going to be reflected, okay? Just like a diamond. So you just wait. You just be patient, okay? That's okay. You just go for it. Biba. Huh? That's a nice song. You can make a nice song of that name. Okay. I want to pray for that guy. That guy at the back there. What's your name? Oh, yeah. De Long O. Maynard. Kom gij so, Maynard. Maynard, wat doen jij? Wat doen jij, Maynard? Okay. You do no next thing. Yeah, all the men's are awesome. They may not. Okay, fantastic. The men's are. Father, I want to thank you for my not. And I want to thank you, Lord, what you have prepared in his heart. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that there's a place for him in your kingdom. Lord, I just break every doubt and every fear and everything, Lord, and especially over his family. Lord, things that just sort of want to, Lord, I just sense there's an assignment of confusion that comes, Lord, and sometimes there's peace and sometimes there's confusion. Not just over him, but over his whole family. And we just want to quiet that storm tonight. Here, elke storm. And dank je, Here, dat je een specifieke purpose in een pad gestapt hebt met hulle as a family. En dankie Here dat my nou kan leef in hierdie tyd. Lord, because you have called him to live right now. And we want to thank you for Maynard. We want to encourage him tonight to just follow Jesus. You just keep on following Jesus, okay? Don't, sometimes it's stuff that God is going to do is going to feel to you weird. Jy voel baie keer asof jy uit plek uit is, okay? It feels like, my God, Here, ek wil net hierso met my mind verstaan, okay? But it's God. God is taking you on a road. So don't try to understand him before you just follow him. You just follow him and then he's going to explain to you as he goes on. But you don't stop and then always say, oh Lord, I first want to understand, okay? Because sometimes lots of things, and even I sense just in the season that you're in, it's not making sense to you. Maak het sense vir jou wat ek nou vir jou sê, okay? So moenie al die, just follow. Just say, Lord, I want to know, I want to follow you, and you're going to be a good dad, okay? God is going to bless you with a father's heart, as you understand his heart, because he wants to tell you tonight that he wants to be your father. And he's going to comfort you, he's going to show himself to you, in like awesome ways. Maar laat toe, laat hy sy hande om jou kom sit en jou longe kom uitdruk, okay? Okay, my nag, die Here is lief vir jou, weet jy dit? Okay, what are we going to do now? Unfortunately, we don't have time. I wish we could just allow God for hours to just pray and speak over people, but I don't want to do it like this, that I must do all that stuff. All I want you to do is we're going to pray for the spirit of prophecy right now over people's lives. And that is just very simply, something must happen in your life. You must just walk away and decide tonight to walk away from a critical spirit and always judging people and always seeing negative stuff and always looking at all the faults, even in your own life, trying to be perfect, all of that stuff. Walk away from that and just say, God, give me eyes to see who you are. Give me eyes to see who I am and give me eyes to see who the people around me is. And then the most amazing thing is going to start to happen. You know, there was a guy in India, this little guy. God, he was deaf and he could hear. God healed him. Jesus healed him right there. And I'm praying for him. I put his name, Kashur, on my list. My prayer list. I'm now praying for him. Because God showed me that night there in Visakhapatnam. God showed me that that guy is going to be a mighty evangelist that's going to change India. But it's like a 9-year-old little boy. But he was so hungry for God. His dad came to stand there next to him. And God just opened up my eyes to see. Because I've been asking him. I'm saying, God, show me who people are that I connect with. And then God begins to show you. And the most amazing things begin to happen. You can speak that one word. I told you about this teacher this morning that spoke life over me. I would not have been here today if it was not for that guy, Mr. Smith, releasing the word of God over my life. Because I was so depressed. I was so nowhere. I just wanted to run away from God. I just wanted to give up. I couldn't pray at night, all that stuff. And then every time when he saw me, he said, Sias, you're going to be in the full-time ministry one day. Sias, there's a calling on your life. And you know, that's why these things is so easy for me, because I just do stuff what has been done to me. Now, some of you need to just get a little bit of, because you've never heard somebody say that over your life. But I've had somebody that walked the road with me for 2 years. He came to stand outside the window when it rained, when I was in Res, 1989. Then he was like soaking wet. He was standing there and the rain came and he just came over and poured over him. And he was like standing there and wanted to give him my umbrella. I said, no. For me, it's such a joy just to speak God's word into your life and start to minister. And I would hang there from 10 o'clock when it was lights out till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And he would just give me words and he would speak over my life. And every time he would walk into my life and he would say, you, you are not going to run away from God. That's a word from you for you, because you are special to God and there's a calling on your life and you know that. Don't run away from God. He's been drawing you. He's been drawing you and he's been drawing you. And it's just like this whirlwind around you, but he's drawing you and he's drawing you and he's drawing you and he's saying you are so special to him. And you needed to hear that tonight, but you are so special. You are precious, precious to him. And you just yield to that. Just yield to that word, because that's how what God thinks about you. He's your daddy and he loves you so much. Okay? And you just yield to him, because you're a worshiper. Everything around you at the moment in your circumstances says, no, run away, run away, run away. Don't run to Jesus. I mean, you run to him because he's drawing you. But the most amazing thing is that's what the guy was saying. He was speaking life over me all the time. He was saying, you're not going to die. You're not going to give up. You're not going to lose control. Everything feels depressed around you. You are not going to give up school. You're not going to give up. You are going to, you know. After 2 years, I was changed from I don't know a nothing to a somebody because somebody looked through the eyes of Jesus and started to speak that over my life. And you know, that's one of my ambitions, if I can call it that, in this life. Since 1991, I've not seen Mr. Smith again. But you know what? When I'm going to see him, I'm going to buy him the biggest presents that I can, present that I can afford in this life. Say, God, give me one opportunity in this life. I want to meet that man again because he's been faithful to God and he's been an encourager. He encouraged me out of hell into heaven. And you know, that's what God begins to use. That's why God uses somebody like Umm Angus. Because wherever he goes, I said to you that this morning, wherever he goes, he just speaks life. The security guard is standing at the gate and he stops and he goes to that man. He says, who are you? I'm interested in who you are. He hasn't got a sock with what's happening there at the massive crusade. He's just the security guard. And he walks up and he says, God's got a plan for your life. Did you know that? You believe that? Do you? Okay? And you don't disagree with God. Never. You never disagree with what God says over your life. Everything inside of you wants to say, no, you're just second best, or you're this or that. This is a word from God for you. Okay? Don't disagree with what God says over your life. Because when the heaven starts to open up, it pours, it rains. And you're going to see the former and the latter rains in your life. You're going to see seasons overlap in your life because of God's call over your life. Don't say no to God. I know you won't. Just say yes. God, bring it on. Jesus, bring it on. Father, thank you tonight. I know we're going on a little bit long, but Lord, we're on holiday. And we know you're not on holiday. You're at work in our lives. And I want to thank you for every blessing in this life. Lord, I want to thank you for these people from Sierra's that has driven all the way from Bloubergstrand. Lord, I just pray a blessing over them. Father, that you bless them because they've got such a heart, Lord. Thank you that you're raising them up, Lord, to come and follow you. To, Lord, have an encounter with you, Father. I want to thank you for some people here, Lord, that are coming there from Toronto and Canada, Lord. Canada, Vaseline, Canada. Lord, I want to thank you for them, Lord. Is it not in Canada? Yeah, hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you for these Canadese people. They can still speak Afrikaans, but bless them, Lord. They speak the heavenly language. Father, there's so many beautiful people here that could have been at many other places, but I want to thank you for your words of encouragement over people here tonight. And I want to thank you that you break every cycle of fear and negativity and condemnation and stuff, Lord, because there's some of us that really need to just step out from that place of negativity, Lord. And Lord, as a nation, we just repent before you, God, because we are so negative over our government and what's happening and our economy and all that stuff. We just see the negative. But God, help us as Christians to begin to see where you move and to move with you. To begin to bless what you bless, Lord. To begin to speak life. So tonight, Lord, we bring our fish and our bread to you. If you need prayer and you know there are cycles in your life that must be broken tonight, or you need salvation, won't you come right to the front quickly? I want to pray for you tonight. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to start to encourage us and to start to release God's word of encouragement. If you know there are cycles in your life of negativity over your family and you need to stand proxy for them because there's just failure and stuff and rejection or whatever, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, don't be afraid. Just come right to the front. We're going to pray. We're going to speak God's word over your life. And we're going to trust God that those things are going to break. Because when Jesus comes on the scene, do you know what? He speaks the truth. God's word is always the truth. It's never, God cannot lie. So when your shirt is blue today and Jesus walks in here and he says, that shirt is yellow, do you know what? That shirt is going to be yellow. Because it's going to change as Jesus speaks that life. If you need of healing here tonight, if you need of healing here tonight, there's somebody with ear in your right ear. There's intense pains. That I don't know if you've got an abscess or something in your ear. I don't want to put you to shame, but there's lots of pain. You couldn't sleep last night properly because of pain in your right ear. I want you to come right to the front because God wants to heal you. Do you know what? God still heals. There's also a lady here with diabetes and lots of immune system problems. Stuff that goes up and down and you really struggle. You get, you know, you just feel, everything feels abnormal to you at the moment and it's not like 50s or anything like that. It's really just inconsistency in your body and you need healing. Won't you come right to the front? Yeah, because God still heals today. Where are those people? Won't you just come to the front? There's also a man here that are at the verge of intense financial struggle. You've got your own company and you need to make decisions around that stuff and there's just stuff not working for you right now. Just, you've tried a couple of stuff, inventions and everything is failing. Everything is like 4 or 5 things that you have tried before, even in this year, but they've all failed. And the Lord just wants to encourage you tonight, because do you know what? You're not a failure. Whatever we speak, I want those people specifically, if you want prayer, I want you to come right to the front. But let's just close our eyes. What are we going to do now? Don't be shy. You just come to the front if God is speaking to you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the spirit of prophecy to be released over our lives. Just the ability to encourage. Then we're going to turn to each other and we're just going to bless each other, because that's what the church is for. Amen. We want to speak God's word. We're not going to flatter people or try to get deep spiritual words. Maybe God is going to give you words, but then you test it. And that's why we have got a church environment. But you know, God wants to bless. God wants to encourage. There's a relationship here between a father and a son. And I don't want to put you on the spot now, but God has been speaking to the dad, and it's very tough for you to make certain confessions over your son. And there's certain stuff that you've never said to your son, but you need to say it tonight to him. And you need to release God's word over him, because God is going to say to you, and he wants to use you as a dad. I don't know where you are tonight, but I want you at the end, if you feel the courage, that dad and that son, if you know it, you take your son's hand, and I want you to come and stand here in front. Because I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to trust God, that God is going to release over you. He's going to show you how he's created your son. And you're going to speak life over him. You're going to start to bless him. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you're not on show, but we thank you for the spirit of prophecy. And we thank you for the power of encouragement. We want to thank you, Lord, that you've been speaking to us, Lord. And we step out of these negative cycles and these negative emotions. And right now, Lord, we want to hear from you what you say about us and what you say about the people around us. And so, Lord, tonight we come to submit ourselves to your word alone, to your word of grace, to your prophetic word. Lord, come and speak in us and speak through us, so that we can release your word over others. Lord, and when we go to the till tomorrow, or when we go walk to the beach or wherever, Lord, open up our eyes to see who you are. Open up our eyes to see who you've created us to be and who the people around us are, Lord, so that we can begin to treat them in that way. Lord, let us be known as people of encouragement, people that love you, people that love people around them, people, Lord, that are not negative and critical, but people, Lord, that can stand up and say, our God reigns, our God lives, our God moves, our God is eternal, our God is alive. And Lord, you want to show yourself to people around us every moment of the day. And thank you tonight that you're breaking yokes and you're opening prison doors and you're breaking cycles over people's lives yet to be set free. And Lord, to begin to walk in that which you have called them to walk. So Lord, tonight come and stir and come and set ablaze those flames that have been quenched and have been dying. And that, Lord, that have lost the passion for you. But thank you tonight for your word and for your fullness of life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, won't you come to the front? Maybe if you can pray. The rest of us, you're going to turn to somebody of the same gender than you. And you just ask God, Lord, is there anything? I want to just bless this person next to me. Maybe you don't know them. And then you just start to pray quickly. If you need prayer, would you come right to the front? We need some facilitators in front, some of the small group leaders. If you can come and pray in front. And then once, we're going to do something different. Once you've been prayed for in front, I want you to pray for the small group leader as well. I want you to pray a blessing. Amen. Because once you've received, you've got the ability to give. It's going to be a challenge for some of you, but then you start to pray a blessing over people around you. Because you've received a gift. You've received encouragement. So let's just do that. Let's take 5 or 10 minutes. And especially if you need a healing, won't you come right to the front? We would love to pray with you. And just break every cycle over your life. Let's go for it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Just go. I want everybody to be prayed for. And I want you to pray for somebody else as well. Amen. If you feel a bit shy and you don't want to, that's fine. But let's pray for each other. Hallelujah, God.